This is KCUR 89.3. State House Blend is a weekly political podcast that investigates the Kansas legislature and the Missouri General Assembly.
Introduce yourselves, please.
I'm Sam Zeff, host of State House Blend.
I'm Brian Ellison, host of State House Blend.
All right, you can already tell this is going to be different. Play the intro. Welcome to this wrap-up edition of State House Blend on KCUR 89.3. We are in the production studio here at KCUR 89.3. I'm Kyle Palmer, sitting in the host chair because, well, it's a special occasion. I'll let the normal co-hosts, Sam and Brian, explain.
Well, the two legislative sessions have wrapped up. Missouri just hours ago, it feels.
Hours ago.
And we're here to talk about what happened in Topeka and what happened in Jefferson City.
Couldn't decide which one of us were hosting. We had an arm wrestling competition. We kept going back and forth, decided we better just get someone else. So, Kyle, glad you could do this. Thanks for hosting today.
Well, thanks for asking me. It's a pleasure to step in again now that both sessions in Topeka and Jeff City have wrapped up. So I'll get right to it. Sam, you specialize in Kansas. Brian, you're over on the Missouri side. I guess for each state, I want to ask, what will this year's session be remembered for?
Well, if you'd asked me that before this last few days, I would have said the Missouri House Committee defeating Senate Joint Resolution 39, the so-called religious freedom constitutional amendment. But I think in the long run, that's not going to be it. I think it's going to be the legislation that passed on the last day of the session about guns, both permitting concealed carry without a permit in Missouri and authorizing stand your ground legislation.
And quite a remarkable piece of legislation passed really with kind of a surprising last-second move, and we'll talk about
it
more later.
Right, and a veto-proof majority.
Yeah. In Kansas, Sam.
Well, I think there's the perennial issue, and that is school funding. I think a lot of people believe that based on what they heard during Supreme Court oral arguments on the equity portion of Gannon, that either right around sine die or right after, I think a lot of people believe that the Kansas legislature is heading for a special session to continue to grapple with school funding.
And your mention of schools is a good transition into our next topic that is, I think, relevant to both states. That is education funding and the relationship between the state and local school boards, especially pertinent in Kansas this session. And how did school funding play out in the Kansas legislature this session?
Well, we have block grants. So there was a lot of discussion about what to do. There was a new school finance funding formula filed that was on the last day of the regular session. That went nowhere, although many believe that that may be the template when they come back next year. So essentially, school districts haven't increased their budgets for the last 2 years. This has been particularly vexing in Wichita, which has discussed going to a four-day week. They've passed the school board decided to cut back on some transportation issues to save money. So that is, I think that is the school district which is grappling with this the most. But every school district has talked about where they're going to make cuts so that they can live within this block grant. Right now, it's very difficult to come up with a budget because they simply don't know what's going to happen with Gannon. Will they get more money? We don't know at this point.
Over in Missouri, it's kind of a good news, bad news scenario. Good news is they boosted spending by about $70 million for K-12 schools. Bad news is that's still tens of millions of dollars short of what the state says is constitutionally obligated to provide schools. And so what's the funding situation in Missouri?
Right. And they've even shifted the line of what they say the Constitution requires. So the funding formula that is the constitutional requirement for how much is to be spent on K-12 education in Missouri has been perennially now, way out of reach. The General Assembly hasn't funded at that amount in a decade or more. This year, the General Assembly votes to lower the funding formula, to
shift the goalpost,
to shift it to a much lower level. They do that. The governor vetoes it. They override the veto, and then they pass a budget that still doesn't meet the new funding formula. I think there's legitimate question, even though, as you said, they did, in fact, increase funding toward education, whether Missouri has the will to continue to increase that at levels to keep up with rising costs.
Which I think is what, I think conservatives would certainly argue is, hey, they're getting more money than they have in the past. We're actually giving them more money.
That certainly is the argument. And conservatives also would say that the funding formula, certainly before and perhaps even now, is unreasonable, that it calculates that number based on factors that go beyond the actual needs. Particularly, they would say, these rural and more conservative legislators of urban school districts.
Let's start to wrap things up by kind of taking issues that might be germane more to one state than the other. Brian, in Missouri, you mentioned right off the top, really one thing that this session will be remembered for is something that did not happen, and that is the passage of SJR 39. This is the measure that would have given constitutional protections to businesses who denied service to same-sex couples, kind of the wedding cake bill, as many people might refer to it in shorthand.
Right.
Explain what that was and explain why it didn't pass.
Yeah, this would have provided legal protections for, as you say, the baker or the florist who doesn't want to participate in same-sex weddings. The failure of this amendment, and you get down to the very granular level, there was a 3-3 vote in a House committee that
because it had already
the
passed the Senate and it had been moved to the House. Yeah.
Overcame a filibuster to pass the Senate. I think its defeat is really a testimony to a couple of things. One, to the impact of the business community when it really does pull together the Chambers of Commerce of Kansas City and St. Louis and the Missouri Chamber of Commerce, which is actually a quite conservative organization most of the time. They all came out against this. Several major companies, major employers in Missouri, they cited the past experiences of Indiana and North Carolina with similar legislation that was perceived as anti-LGBT and the impact on business and on tourism in those states. That seems to have had an impact. The other thing that had an impact, though, I think, is just shifting mores. There were 3 Republican votes on that House committee that joined with the Democrats. All of those folks had something to lose politically. 2 of those Republican House members are running for Senate seats. They may face primary challenges or third-party challenges as a result of that. But they spoke in that committee of searching their consciences and of doing the right thing.
Meanwhile, over in Kansas, tensions between the state legislature and the governor and the state Supreme Court really have never been higher. What's the state of that right now, especially since the Gannon case was just heard, and going forward, how will that affect business in Topeka?
Yeah, it never has been higher, and I don't think it's ever been more acrimonious. So there was any number of bills that were filed this year. None of them got passed, aimed at the Supreme Court. I think the most observers would say the most egregious was one that expanded the ways that you could impeach a Supreme Court justice, including being rude to people in the courtroom, and also one that said that trying to usurp the powers of another branch of government, which I believe they already have a name for, which is a coup d'etat. that bill didn't pass, but it's clear that there is a deep mistrust. Some might say hatred that conservatives have of the state Supreme Court. This is going to play itself out mightily in the fall. 5 of the 7 Supreme Court justices are up for retention. They stand for a yes or no vote every 6 years. The conservative Republicans, led by Governor Brownback, also anti-abortion forces, and I think some Kochback folks, are targeting 4 of those Supreme Court justices. It's going to be very hard to, I believe, to educate the voters to say, yes, we need to boot these 4 Supreme Court justices off the Supreme Court, but we want to preserve Caleb Stegall. So this is going to be, I believe, perhaps the dominant political race in Kansas come the fall, because there's no real top-of-the-ticket race in Kansas.
Well, thanks to our guests. We should say State House Blend is produced by Matt Hodapp. Thank you very much, Matt. You can find us on iTunes or on kcur.org/statehouseblend. From KCUR 89.3, this is State House Blend. Thanks for listening.
That was an excerpt from State House Blend, KCUR 89.3's podcast about the Kansas Legislature and the Missouri General Assembly. You can find the full episode by subscribing on iTunes or at kcur.org/statehouseblend.